this. I thought it was more appropriate to the season, because I believe Christmas will always be a blessing to everybody and anybody that understands. And you know the one thing about Christmas? Christmas doesn't leave anybody out. It doesn't leave anybody out that's of a different faith than we are. You know, there's over 4,200 religions right now in the world, and Christianity is just one of them. And it's the only one that's right. Every other religion, the founder is dead. But Christianity is more than a religion. It's an inner happening. And one thing for sure, our Jesus ain't dead. He's alive and well. And he's here to hear everybody's prayer tonight, to include everybody, people that aren't even Christians. This is open communion. If you want to take communion with us, you can take communion with us. We don't have any big requirements, and some religions do. This is open communion. You can take it or not take it. Whatever your faith is, we welcome you here. We're glad that you're here tonight. If there's anything we can do to help you, we want to help you. So having said that, if you would go with me to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, in the King James language, and the word of God here says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Now, having said that, that is a very, very distant, it's not in our day, it doesn't really say exactly what it means. What does that mean, he addeth no sorrow to it? Well, I'll tell you what. Kelly, if you would read this for me. This is another translation. I mostly preach out of the King James. I love it. But I want you to hear that same verse in another language. And then I want to, I just want to, it's that one right there.
It is.
It is
the Lord's blessing that makes a person rich, and hard work adds nothing to it.
Now, that's more right. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and working hard, that doesn't increase it. It doesn't have. Now, is hard work good? It is good. There are a lot of people that don't know Christ that work hard, and they do very, 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 very well in this world. I have nothing against that. But the blessing of God doesn't have anything to do with how hard you work. I believe Cain in Genesis chapter 4 had a problem with that. He worked hard. He felt like he did things right. And he felt like he was cheated. And that his brother Abel got a blessing and an approval from God. And that he didn't. And that upset him so much. Man, God creates us in Genesis chapter 1. By Genesis chapter 4, we're killing each other. Now, that does God need us? Do we need a Savior? I think we do. I think we do. But let me just talk about that thought now, because the Amplified says that, and two or three others, that hard work does not increase the blessing of the Lord. They're two different things. They don't go together. If you have the blessing of the Lord, you just have the blessing of the Lord. That's all there is to it. And we'll try to describe the blessing of the Lord in this message. To fully understand the blessings of God, you must understand God himself. And if we could turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 in the King James translation. And this is what the word says there. We've been over these verses because they're so good, and they fit into our society. They fit into right now. The word says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Your ways and my ways, they don't fit together. They're different. And I'm saying this because I really want to focus on one thing. Okay, Lord, if I can't work hard to make your blessing increase, what do I have to do? That's a question. And you know what? I think it's a fundamental question. If you understand God, it doesn't, you know, the things that I've heard people say, well, God's ways are past finding out. No, I don't agree with that. No, God's ways are easy. And the word tells exactly how. You meditate on the word. You pray the promises. You can't pray what you don't know, and you can't lead where you don't go. So anybody that you're going to listen to has to know the word of God and know how to pray the word of God, because the word of God is the promises of God to mankind and how he will deal with us. Now, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But I want to say this. The blessing of the Lord, you can seek it and get it and have it. I seek it every day of my life. The blessings of God. I want to be blessed by God every day. And like it says here, God's ways are different than our ways. And what we have to do, we have got to find out who God is. Smith Wigglesworth was a powerful preacher at the beginning of the 20th century. And he said, he carried a Bible with him everywhere he went. He has been attributed to bringing over 20 people back from the dead. And this is what he said. This is one of the things Smith Wigglesworth said. He said this, you know, I don't know God by how I feel. I'm 74. Sometimes I don't feel very saved, even to this day. Sometimes I don't feel very blessed, even to this day. Sometimes I feel like I don't fit in and that everything's wrong, even to this day. I just feel like that. But Smith said this, and this never left me. The first time I heard it was many, many years ago. Smith says this, I know God by his word. I know who he is by his word. You cannot find and maintain a relationship with God by feelings by themselves. And I think every one of us, how many of you have days where you don't feel as good as other days? Amen? Yeah. I have days I don't feel saved. I have days I wonder about myself. But you know what? I have to go back to what does the Word of God say? The Word of God talks about everything that you deal with in your life. Everything. Everything. Every situation. Every mood that you have. The Word of God also contains the revelation of how you get the blessing of God on your life. I don't know how long I'm going to share on the blessings of God. However long it is, it won't be enough. I don't know that it's a subject that you can find the end to, the blessings of God. But this next place that I'm going to go to is a tremendous clue to how to get the blessing of God on your life. And if you've walked in this door, I cannot help but believe that you want to know, what does God require me? What can I do to get God's attention? What can I do for God will increase the blessing or give me blessing on my life? You know, I'm always blessed, but I don't always feel blessed every day. I don't. I have problems. Humans have problems that will not be solved and cured until we leave this life and that we're in the presence of God, which is a whole lot different than it is down here. And this is, you know what? What we have here, I listened to the news right before I came to church. People are still killing each other and ripping each other off, and terrible things are happening all over the world. But God's grace is in this world today. And whosoever, anybody, everybody, everywhere on this earth can have the blessings of God. They are not held back from anybody. I'm going to share the next verse with you. And you can be sure I'm not going to just share it this once, because when this truth came inside of me, it helped me to know. The key thing that helped me to know how to be blessed by God and how to win his approval is in this next verse. You can put it up. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. Now you listen to me. Everybody, look at me for a minute. God's ways are different than our ways, right? Would you agree? God's ways are different. But let me say this. When a person's ways please the Lord, he makes even that person's enemies to be at peace with him. It is so powerful. If you can wake up in the morning, read the word. Millie and I start every day. I think we're going to try to start a morning devotional or once a week or something. I'm trying to learn how to, Sam knows how to do it better than me. But we start every day this way. And when a person's ways line up with the ways of God, his blessings come in such a great flow that even your enemies, your enemy is death, sickness, wrong decisions. I can go on and on and on. It's not just people. And it's really not people. If you have a problem with a person, it's probably because Satan's in there somewhere clashing you two together. When Jesus was on the cross, he said seven things from the cross. And one of the things that he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And I can tell you one thing. If you can make yourself forgive somebody that's hurt you somehow, that's very powerful. If you learn how to do that. But once again, see, we could just go deeper on one little step and go to a little deeper. Forgiveness is not a way of feeling. My generation, I was telling some of the praise and worship team back there, man, I had hair down here. We thought we had it all. We thought we did every wicked thing that could be done. And then I lived to the next day and the next day. There doesn't seem to be any end to how bad we can do. But when a person's ways please the Lord, and when you choose to forgive, just on one little subject, forgiveness is not a feeling. Now, my generation, we were sure love was a feeling. Come on, baby, light my fire. I want to feel that love. But love is not a feeling, not biblical love. The word says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for the church. Now, that is pretty simple. A man is supposed to give his life for his wife and his kids. I know I wasn't perfect, but I sure tried to do the right thing with my wife and my kids. Is that right? Were we perfect? No, but nobody is. But that's just one little aspect of it. If your ways please God, if your doings, the way you do things, If that pleases God, the blessing basket is opened for you. To the point that even your, when it says even your enemies, see, there's a lot of things, there are a lot of blessings before your enemies being at peace with you. But even your enemies will be at peace with you. If you've got turmoil in your family, if you handle that turmoil in a way that pleases God, He'll fix it. Let's remember something. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. A biblical, God-felt decision. It's the same with forgiveness. Forgiveness is not, well, it's not a feeling. I'm sorry, it's not. And for that reason, I've counseled people older than anybody in this room. Well, you don't know what they did. I can't forget. You know, I'm just having a hard time with it. But you know what? Mark 11, 24, 25, 26. And this is what it says. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody. See, forgiveness is not a feeling. We're in a feeling generation in America. Forgiveness is a decision that you make. And when we look at that decision, we see that the Word says God remembers who mankind is, so He forgives us. God says in the book of Isaiah, for my own sake, listen to me now, for my own sake I will not remember your offenses against me. For my sake, God says that. We're made in the image of God. We're made like God. We have the life, we have life and death in the power of what we say. We can't afford the luxury of just saying things that we don't mean. When a person's ways please the Lord, and forgiveness is an act. And part of the act is what? If you really forgive somebody, number one, we're just going on a few things here. You will stop talking about it. And then you'll take it to the next level, which is harder. If you really forgive somebody, the Bible says you can take control of what you think about, your thought life. If you really forgive somebody, you will make your thought life line up with your biblical decision to forgive that person. If you have forgiven somebody, when you see them at Walmart, like our pastor said, there's some people I just a little crossways with, but I just made it a point to go up there and say, hi, how are you doing? That's more the right way to do. You know, how many of you have ever been somewhere and you notice somebody has snubbed you? Yeah. I'm not even going to ask you this question. I'm just going to talk about myself. I have been in place and I have snubbed others. And you know what? That's not pleasing to God. You're just inviting some kind of calamity, some kind of something that you don't want in your life if you won't do what's clear in the Bible. It doesn't get any clearer than Mark 11. Is it, try 25. It's either 25 or 26. Put that up there for me in the King James language. I want you to see this. Mark 11, 24 through 26. It's right in there. Mark 11, 23 says, I'm going to have to get my King James Bible. They got it? Okay, boys. All right. Now, listen, this is 24. Now, right before that, God's talking about this. He's saying, if you had just a little bit of faith, you could say to the mountain, be removed, and it has to listen to you. But right in here, put up Mark 11, 23 through 25. Can you do that? That's three verses. For verily I say unto you, that anybody, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, Let's read a little verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Man, that's all powerful good news. But then the word says, now, but there's one more thing I want to talk to you about. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, so that your Father in heaven can forgive you your trespasses. Now, the word, there's something here that you need to see and understand. The word says at the end there, verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. And that's the true meaning of the verse. It's not that, well, if God feels all right about it, it has nothing to do with feelings. As a way to teach mankind, as a way to put something there, that this is what you have to do, walk you in it. This is the way, walk you in it. The word says, if you won't forgive as an act of God's will, God will not forgive you. And if you don't know the word of God, you don't even know, how did this calamity come on me? Have you got anybody that you haven't forgiven? It's not that God can or can't. It's that if you won't forgive, and you're supposed to be a Christian, and you don't, God will not forgive you. Now, we're talking about the blessings of God. We've got off on some trails, a set of precedents and a foundation for what I'm trying to teach you. The blessing of God doesn't have anything to do with hard work. I've watched countless of people that I admire that are successful businessmen, people that are actors and actresses, people that are skilled in certain sports or things like that. And I've looked at their life, and I've admired them and what they accomplished. But let me tell you something. I have to know God's ways. It'll shorten my life. And this word, there is a doctrine in this word that God can add years to your life, or your life can be shortened. And both of them have at least 6 Bible verses. Okay? So, you want to be blessed? Nobody's going to ask you any questions, private questions. That's not the point of this here. My point here is to set you free if I can. If there's an area of your life that I can help you. And I guarantee you, I forgive. And when I start talking about that person, I know I haven't forgiven enough. See? And then another thing. If God says I can control my thought life, one of the worst examples I've seen, dear God in heaven. Well, you can't help who you fall in love with. Sweetheart, you better help who you fall in love with, or you're going to fall in love with the wrong person, and you're going to have to fall in love all over again. And it's going to be bad. It's going to be terrible. Angela, what is the best way to know who to marry? 51 years ago, I married Millie. And she lived right next door to me. And she helped me with my baby sister, Heidi. My baby sister died. She was an infant. She was laying on the floor dead. My sister, Kathy, was right there. I was 20-something years old. And all I could think of, my parents were gone, and I thought, what am I going to tell my parents? She was very sick, and the Lord said, call her back. I didn't even know what that meant. I was freaking out. I was so freaked out. The ambulance came, and I would not let them take her. Why? I don't know why. I just wouldn't. I said, I don't know what you're talking about, Father. He said, put your hands on her. Now, I haven't made my living telling lies about this. I put my hands on that little infant. He said, now you called her back. I said, Heidi, in Jesus' name, come back. She came back instantly. Now, I grabbed her up. Let me tell you a story. I was so afraid about what just happened. I didn't understand that. The ambulance came to our house, and I would not let them take my baby sister. I thought she'd die again. And I was there, and Millie's family and my family lived right next door to each other. We were enemies. Enemies. Over nothing. Their fence was a little bit over on our side. We took them to court over that. We won. We always win. But we became enemies over that. But Millie's mom, when she saw what was going on, she says, Millie, you go over there and help him. He's going to try to take that baby to the hospital. And Millie held my baby sister, Heidi. And we went to the hospital. I can just remember that. I can remember they're putting her in ice, that little baby. I can remember all kinds of things. And out of that, our families were friends again. And Millie had a brand new car. Glory to God. It wasn't just an ordinary car. It was a Dodge Dart 340, the 340 Hemi motor inside of it. And every day she would come over and say, I think there's something wrong with my car. And I say, really? Let's go find out. And I drive that car. Oh, my gosh. Now, here was a beautiful young lady with a great car, and she just helped me. I broke down and gave her a date. Within 6 months, I asked her to marry me. That was in 1974 when we got married. I'm going to tell you something. I'll never forget this. This is how I was able to do this. This is faith. I'm going to tell you what faith is. And I believe what God does for one person, he'll do for anybody in his family. I'm not kidding you. I was saved, but not very saved in 1973, 74. I was just starting to be saved. But a couple of things happened. One of them was my mother, who never had one good word to say about any of my girlfriends. All of a sudden, she's going, Angie, I like that girl, Millie. You take her out. I said, Mom, come on now, man. But that wasn't what made me do it. But that was something. Let me tell you something. You got a problem. Everybody in this room, you listen to me. If you like somebody that your parents don't feel great about, that's not a good thing. Is it an impossible thing to get over? No. But that's usually an indicator. If your parents can't get along with somebody, that's not a good thing. And I'm going to tell you what happened to me. And if it happened to me, it could happen to you. I could hear God. 3 nights in a row, during the full moon, the moon came into my curtain. It woke me up, and I heard God say, Angelo. 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 He wouldn't talk any further until I said, yes, Lord, here, I'm here. He said, marry that girl next door. I swear to you. That's exactly what happened. And if I was to bet on somebody getting a divorce or having a messed up life, it would have been me and Millie because of me, not anything because of her. But I'm going to tell you what. In John chapter 2, Mary, the mother of Jesus, told the guys at the wedding, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. A lot of times we have an inkling that God wants us to do something. We don't even want to find out if he really does because we don't want to do it, whatever it might be. I'm going to tell you, I would not run away from the will of God if I were you, because I have. I have. Anybody else? And me and my lovely wife's predicament, probably would have had a divorce. I've done some awful things as a Christian man. Things that I'm not proud of. Don't even think what they are, because I don't want to know yours, because mine are that bad. Can I get an amen? How many understand? You get me? What I'm saying is this. The blessings of God are for everybody and anybody in the world. But that his ways are higher than our ways. Our way. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And all through the Bible talks about your ways and your thoughts. And it doesn't say, poor thing, you can't help who you love with. If you're that stupid, I'm pretty sure you're going to marry the wrong person. You've got to have something a little more than that. And nothing is better than God told you. You could tell in your heart. After the third night, I began to date Millie in a different way. I said, I'm going to have to try to figure out how to make this girl say yes to me. And, well, she did. And here we are. We've never been divorced. I believe in love for a lifetime. I believe it's possible. I believe it's more possible for a believer, for a Christian, for a person that's going to surrender their life. And surrender is not a one-time thing, like Pastor Kelly said. It's every day. It's every morning. It may be multiple times in the day that you have to make choices to say, wait a minute, I'm a believer. I'm not going to think that. See, if you don't think it, you'll probably never do it. Think about that. We think about things that we're going to do, and some of them ain't just right. And we meditate on that. And God sees the meditations. Psalm 19:14 is a powerful verse. Let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, O God. Let what I say and what I think be acceptable. And can you do that? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You stop listening to, you poor thing, you can't. No, yes, you can. You can change your ways if they're not. You can make your ways line up with God. I'm not asking anybody to raise their hand, agree with me, stand up. Well, you know what? We're about to take communion. And I want you to remember this. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of self-image. You might have a bad self-image of yourself. If your ways please God, you're on your way. God's going to bless you. I'm going to tell you another thing. Some of you might know this by now. Nobody can bless you as much as God can bless you. Nobody can. Nobody can change your circumstances more than God. Now, we're going to take communion. We're going to be out of here by 8 o'clock, maybe a minute or two early. We're not giving away food tonight, are we? No, but we will be Sunday, I think. Pastor Kelly, summarize this. Hey, fellas in the sound booth. So whatever you just say, whatever's on your heart right now, you might want to say it just about anything. Just like we were moving in the spirit, and you had something great that you said last week. You've heard this word.
Well, he just kind of put me on the spot, but I agree with every bit of it, and I just can't stress enough how important it is, just at a really young age, to have your priorities in the right spots. And you don't ever want to go through a divorce if you don't have to, because it's the most gut-wrenching thing you'll ever do.
Now, there's several young people here. Is there anybody in here, even the kids on the back, is there anybody here that's too young to hear from God?
No.
Okay. If you would, make an altar or come to the altar, okay? and examine your heart. If there's